Welcome to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene. Vegan Nation is an informational program about living the vegan lifestyle, featuring interviews with individuals and organizations who are practicing a healthy vegan lifestyle. Welcome to Vegan Nation. In this edition of Vegan Nation, we are joined by Amanda Benham via Skype in Australia, Brisbane, Queens Island, Australia. Amanda has been vegan for 32 years. She is an accredited practicing dietitian nutritionist. Amanda will be giving us information concerning veganism in its totality. Welcome, Amanda.
Good morning. It's lovely to be here.
I'm curious about how and why you started with veganism before anybody knew about it.
Well, I'd certainly never heard of a vegan or heard the word. I did have a strong affinity with animals, and I actually started off studying veterinary science when I left school at university. But I was quite horrified by what we had to do and the way animals were treated as commodities. So I left that feeling quite disillusioned that I couldn't do what I wanted to do for animals. And one day I was listening to the radio, and it was a program about how drugs and cosmetics are tested on animals. And I'd actually studied drugs. I studied pharmacology as part of my science degree. And I knew that that was completely true, what they were saying. And I was just thought, I've got to do something. So I hopped on my bicycle and I rode around to the local animal liberation office. They were the people that were doing the interview. This was in Sydney in Australia. And I said, I want to give you some money. And we got talking, and the woman said to me, are you a vegan? And I sort of said, I beg your pardon, I didn't know what that was. And she explained what a vegan was. And she said, you didn't use or consume any animal products. And I just looked at her, and I looked up and down, and I thought, you know, I had thought that wasn't possible, because we were actually taught at university that, no, you must eat animal products or you will just fall into a heap and die within months or something. She said, are you a vegan? And when she told me, I said, well, yes, I am now. And that was it. As soon as I knew that it was possible to live without animal products, I knew that I didn't want to do it, because I'd been exposed to all that horrible slaughter and torture and everything that goes on. As a vet student, we had to go to farms and we had to go to abattoirs and things like that, to slaughterhouses. So that was it for me. I never looked back from that day, back in 1983.
You are a compassionate, evolved soul, Amanda. Thank you for being on Earth, helping to uplift the rest of us.
Well, it was really that I met someone who was compassionate and evolved. You know, I could have gone around with blinkers on for years. And the funny thing is, after I went vegan, I just felt like a huge weight of guilt had been lifted from my shoulders. I felt so good that I could actually start to do something for animals, which I had thought being a vet would do, but I realised, no, this was so much more important and so much bigger. If I could help other people to be vegan, and ultimately we would have a world of humans being vegan, that is what I wanted to do.
And you had already had your degree in dietitian nutritionist by then also?
No, I didn't. So, of course, when I became vegan, I had to explain to every single person I met what it meant. And the first question was, where do you get your protein? And then, but what about iron? And what about this? And what about that? And I didn't feel comfortable answering the questions when I didn't know for sure what the answers were. I had a science degree, and I thought, well, no, I really want to give the correct answers. People would say, but you couldn't possibly have children, what are you going to do? So I went back and I studied for a few more years, and that's when I studied nutrition. And I went there thinking, perhaps I'm going to find out that it's not good to be vegan, and maybe I shouldn't be telling other people to go vegan. But in fact, what I found out was that it's not being vegan that is the problem, and is causing so many of our current health problems, like diabetes and cardiovascular diseases and all those types of things. So it actually was great to learn how to help other people to be vegan and to be really healthy vegans, so that they can go on and promote veganism as well.
That's so true. And how was that with raising your daughter, with being vegan again back when you had to kind of fight tooth and nail?
It was interesting. I have two vegan children, a son and a daughter. My daughter's 27 and my son's about to turn 25. And back then, yes, people did. I actually opened a vegan shop back then in 1987, I think it was. It was actually the second vegan shop I opened. So I sold vegan groceries and tofu and all those sorts of things. And I remember one day a lady came in, and when she found out that I was pregnant, I was obviously pregnant and a vegan, she actually started screaming at me that you're going to kill your baby will have brain damage and all this sort of thing. And I was glad I'd studied nutrition, because I knew that she was talking about, you know, vitamin deficiencies and that sort of thing. And I said, no, it's okay, I'm onto it. You know, I know what I need to do to be healthy as a vegan. Yeah, a lot of people were against it. My family were against it. Doctors used to just scratch their head and say, oh, well, you seem healthy enough. You know, they didn't really even know what it meant. They hadn't, a lot of doctors had never heard the word or knew, understood what it really meant. And I think for my children, it was difficult, but we were lucky. We did find one other vegan family. They lived a few hours away, but we would meet up with them occasionally so that our children could play together and learn that they were not the only vegan children in the whole world. So it was a little bit different back then to how it is now, where here in Brisbane, we have different play groups around the city for vegan children and meetings and things like that.
Yeah, it is exciting to see the changes. We're on our way to becoming a vegan world, the tipping point. We're reaching the tipping point.
And I think so.
I saw a beautiful picture of you at the Green Edge, a vegan grocery store. Where is that?
Oh, really? Wow. That's in Brisbane. Now, I started that business, it must be about 5 or 6 years ago now. I like to start vegan businesses wherever I go because I think that that is important in having a place for vegans can go and know that everything there is vegan and they can support a vegan business and they can meet other vegans. We used to hold social events and things as well. So that business, I sold that a few years ago now and happily it's still ticking along nicely and it has a cafe as well. I guess it's similar to some of the vegan shops I've seen in other countries. I've seen some in the United States and some in Germany. And even one in Paris. So, but I opened the very first vegan shop I opened was back in 1984. So it's something I can't seem to, I must be addicted to doing it. I can't stop doing it.
You are a powerhouse. That's great. Well, I also liked this quote that you had on your Facebook. When it's uncomfortable, when it's unpopular, even when it's dangerous to speak the truth, is the precise time when the truth should be spoken.
Yes, well, I think that's important to say that because I think as vegans, it's really important that we muster our courage on behalf of animals that are abused. And I think that sometimes that it seems like everyone else in the world almost wants us to keep quiet and not say what the truth is, that what they're looking down on their plate and going yum, yum, delicious was actually just an innocent animal that just wanted to simply live their lives and not die for us just to have a meal that lasts 10 minutes or so. So I think that, you know, we have to keep saying that even though people are saying, we don't want to hear that, could you please keep quiet, I'm trying to enjoy my food or whatever. You know, I'm not suggesting that we confront strangers in restaurants and talk to them about their food necessarily, but I just mean that that truth needs to get out in whatever way we can do that. And also the truth that it's a total lie that anyone would need animal products to be healthy, because you'll hear people try and justify it or all this nonsense, and it's really just part of, it's almost like the non-vegan part of society, which is of course the majority, conspires to keep the vegans quiet. And I think in any social justice movement, that is what goes on because it's the dominant group that doesn't really want to have to change.
Yeah, that's so true. And I'm really grateful for WCUW Community Radio, who is giving vegans a voice.
Yes, that's great. Yes, we need a voice. We do.
Yeah.
And I hope that lots of non-vegans do listen and benefit from it.
And it's so important for us to hear that no one needs to eat the dead flesh or the lactation secretions, dairy, or the ovulatory secretions of hens, eggs. It's coming from you as a dietitian and nutritionist. And I think how fortunate we are that we human beings are blessed with bodies in which no animal needs suffer and die for our nourishment. We should be celebrating. Mm-hmm. There should be fireworks all over the globe to celebrate this knowledge.
I agree. I agree totally. And I think that it's so amazing, actually, when you think about it, that we didn't know a lot about nutrition, you know, 100, 200 years ago. You know, we didn't understand about what vitamins and minerals and everything we need. And now we understand so much more that it's quite likely that a couple of hundred years ago, even 100 years ago, people would have possibly struggled to be vegan because they might not have known what to eat and how to get all the nutrients they need. But now, you know, we've discovered, for example, in 1948, vitamin B12 was discovered. We've discovered what we can do to be fantastically healthy without eating any, as you put, flesh or secretions of animals. I believe, yes, we should rejoice in that. And that gives the human race a moral obligation to go vegan because we have no excuse not to now.
That's so true. Like you said, it is it's frustrating when so much of the population doesn't want to look at the truth or to hear the truth about the intense suffering that animals experience. And there's no need for it. We can evolve away from that.
Yes. I've thought about this a lot, Marlene, and I think part of it is people are just a little bit afraid. They're afraid of change. And they, a lot of them, honestly, don't really know what they would eat. And also they might think, well, it's going to be very inconvenient and difficult, and none of my friends will like me or my family will be annoyed with me, and I don't want it to be difficult. Because, you know I was brought up to eat what I was given. You know, if you went somewhere, someone had prepared a meal, you didn't question it. You ate every last bit on your plate. So I can sort of understand how people could feel that way and not really want to think about it too deeply. But I also think that nobody really wakes up in the morning thinking, today I want to harm animals. You know, we're not psychopaths as a race, really, as individuals, I don't believe. I think that people just go through their day just doing what's convenient and easy and eating what they find tasty or what they're traditionally used to eating with no evil intent. And I think that if we can just keep showing people there are alternatives, you'll feel, if you eat well, fantastic. Eat delicious, wonderful food and just keep showing people how to do it, and then also reminding them that there's no need for any animal to die or suffer for their meal. And I think that eventually people will actually say, well, actually, you're right. Because it is right. Nobody, I don't think, really wants, or very few people want to hurt animals or get a big thrill out of hurting animals. That's what gives me hope.
Yes, and the suffering of the animals is so intense in every culture, and it has nothing to do with factory farming. As you know, there's this big blame now saying, oh, the factory farming is the problem. It's not the problem. Animal farming is the problem. It's the suffering all around. And like you said, people are innocent. They're just following orders. They're just doing what they've been told to do by every institution since we were all toddlers ourselves. And so now we're breaking that mold. And again, thanks to powerful women like you.
Well, I think that, you know, when we look at it, if we look through history, we can make analogies with slavery and with women's rights and that. And I think that some humans especially do have a tendency to be bullies, that we have a tendency as a race to go, okay, well, the strong can dominate the weak, and rather than the strong should actually care for and look after those who are weaker or more vulnerable. And I think that part of that was because of male domination, but I think that we can evolve beyond that and stop being bullies and say, well, we should actually look after those that need our protection and not exploit others, whether they be human or non-human animals, just because we can. That's not really a good excuse to do anything. I think that it's part of that evolution of human morality to go, okay, we've got to stop just abusing our power and using and abusing others for our own selfish purposes. And I think that the non-human animals are what needs urgently addressing right now, and that veganism does that.
It's time to take a break. We are joined by Amanda Benham via Skype in Brisbane, Australia. Amanda is a dietitian nutritionist, and she's been sharing information about her journey into veganism 32 years ago. After the break, she'll be giving us some more details that will help us maintain a vegan diet and a vegan lifestyle.
You're listening to WCUW 91.3 FM, community radio serving Central Massachusetts, online at wcuw.org.
Hi, this is Stephen Blake. Tune in on Mondays from 5 to 7 to catch The Drive with moi.
Hello, this is Bob Zukowski, and I'm inviting you to join me on Saturday and Sunday afternoons for Polka Party from 2 to 4, right here on WCUW Worcester.
Welcome back to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene Narrow. We're joined by Amanda Benham in Brisbane, Australia. And Amanda, as an accredited practicing dietitian and nutritionist, can you give our listeners some tips?
If I was asked what is the most important food for people to eat, I would have to say green vegetables, because the green vegetables are the primary source of a lot of nutrients that are then converted into animal flesh and animal secretions, because those lovely herbivorous animals that get slaughtered and abused for their so-called food product live on, of course, green grass, which is of similar composition to green vegetables. The other thing I think is to try and eat lots of whole, unprocessed plant foods, fruit, vegetables of all different colours, whole grains, legumes, nuts and seeds. Those are the foods to really try and base our diet, 99% if we can, on those foods. Other foods is more an occasional treat or convenience.
And I see that you have available on your website thehumanherbivore.com, a refrigerator magnet that has information to be helpful.
Yes, and that's actually good for people to put on. It's A3 size, which is quite large, very large, put on the refrigerator, and then the visitors will look at that and they're saying, well, where do you get your calcium or, you know, your magnesium and whatever else? You can just point to your fridge magnet and say, well, there you go. There's a plant source of the things that we need, with the one exception, which we all know, of vitamin B12, which is something that we thankfully can buy very cheaply and easily as a supplement or have it in foods that has already got it added. So yeah, it's really not complex or difficult to have a healthy vegan diet once you know how.
Thank you for that magnet. It is lovely that we can eat all this delicious, nutritious food and let the lovely herbivorous animals be free and free from our violence. And speaking of that, can you share some details about animal agriculture in Australia? Because I think it's very important, because here in the USA, animal agriculture is hidden, so we don't even know any details about any of it.
I think it's very much the same here. It's something that is deliberately hidden to help prevent people from actually thinking about where their food comes from. So I had some insight into that when I was studying veterinary science, having to spend time at a piggery and go to intensive chicken farms and also go to a slaughterhouse. It is hell on earth. For me, that was many, many years ago. We're talking nearly 40 years ago, and I can still vividly remember the horrors of those farms, those places where animals were just treated as commodities. They were thrown around. There would be animals in corners just dying quietly with no one giving them any attention or assistance of any kind. Absolutely the worst things I've ever seen in my life, you know, the stuff of nightmares. But most Australians would have no insight into that whatsoever. We have a very large live export trade of sheep and cattle from Australia that we send to various countries that want to buy live animals. There has been some exposure recently of how those animals are killed in other countries, which has made people quite horrified. Cows being beaten to death with sledgehammers and horrific things like that. But the reality is, any animal that doesn't want to die, there's no such thing as humane slaughter. They are all watching the animals in front of them being slaughtered. They're screaming their heads off, and it's quite clear that they know what is going to happen to them and that they are absolutely screaming for their lives as that knife goes into their throat and their throat is cut. So I have seen it. I wish I hadn't, but you know, whenever I'm having a bad day or whatever and I think life is difficult, I think, oh my goodness, what am I saying? Imagine being a battery chicken, or imagine being in a lineup at an abattoir about to be slaughtered, when you'd just be thinking, what the heck is going on here? Why me? What did I ever do to deserve this? Who are these barbaric, horrible, horrible creatures that want to cut our throats for no good reason other than their own selfish desire to have the taste of bacon or whatever it is? I think it's pretty much the same everywhere. It's hidden and it's horrible.
I know, and I think about that too. And it doesn't matter if it's the industrialized slaughterhouse where an animal is being killed every 4 seconds, and that's dangerous to the slaughterhouse workers as well, but that horrendous experience because the slaughter lines are running so fast. Yet also today, like you just mentioned, that seeing it, I witnessed a video of a cow, and this was a one cow with maybe four men around her, and they had her head tied by a rope to a post, and they just kept taking an axe to the back of her neck over and over and over again until she finally expired. But to see the terrible pain that she suffered, and then to think that people gleefully fry up her dead flesh, I just thought, oh, thank God that we are working towards a vegan world.
Yeah, some days I just think about it. I think it's beyond comprehension. How did humans ever get so low that we could do this. You know, when I believe that children are born with a natural want, love of animals, or want to connect with animals, or whatever you want to say it. Children do not look at a cow or a rabbit or any animal and think, I want to eat that. You know, I want to harm that. It's more like, oh, hello, you know, how are you? Can I pet you? Can I connect with you on some level? So it just shows what society has done to us. I just hope that we can reverse that sooner rather than later, because it must be so damaging to our psyches to be part of that horror and to be consuming that as well. It's just something that I think is unbearable to even think about that we do.
It is exciting to see the rise in children's vegan books in children's literature. And I would love to hear some information about your book, We're Vegan.
Right. Well, not everybody I know knows that I wrote that book, actually, because I wrote it with a pseudonym, Anna Bean. I just wanted to keep that part of my life a little bit separate, I suppose, but that's fine. What the book is, it's aimed to help teach children what a vegan really is, and it's aimed at younger readers because I wanted it to be a book that the children would ask an adult, whether it be a parent or a teacher, to read to them, and then the adult would get the vegan message as well, obviously. So the book actually explains that veganism is not just a diet, because I know a lot of people think it's some sort of a bit of a fad diet or something like that, you know, a health kick or something, which of course it isn't. Veganism is about not using animals, and it's in rhyming verse. So for example, one line is, animals are not ours to use in any way that we might choose. So it's basically getting that idea across to anyone who reads the book that, you know, yes, we can live without using animals, and, you know, as we don't need to, why would we want to? So hopefully it will inspire some people to go vegan. And it's also, I think, reinforcing for children that are being raised vegan. I get a lot of feedback that, oh, my kids love the book because there's vegans in a book. And believe me, when I was looking at my children, we couldn't find any children's books that you'd read through them and it was all green eggs and ham. It's like, oops, no, we can't read that one. Even nursery rhymes, we had to constantly modify them because there's animal exploitation in virtually every piece of children's literature that you pick up. So I'm really happy to see that other people are writing vegan books for children as well, and I've got some more in the pipeline too, because I think it's an important thing to do.
Oh, thank you, Amanda. Yeah, it's nice to see that in this evolutionary phase, we're experiencing radical inclusion, radical the change, and inclusion that all beings are in our sphere of compassion, which, like you're saying, was what we were born with as children.
Yes, yes, exactly. And I think humans, on the whole, have a fairly strong sense of justice as well. And to me, it's also an issue of justice that we shouldn't be doing to others what we wouldn't want done to ourselves. It's fairly basic, isn't it? Include animals in that, because we all know that animals feel pain, they have a desire to live, they have their own feelings and emotions. So of course we should consider them in our circle of compassion and justice as members of our society that deserve to be basically treated with respect.
Yes, thank you, Amanda. We're coming to a close in the interview today. Is there any other messages that you would like to share with our listeners?
If you are vegan, thank you. Please keep being vegan, and please help others to be vegan. And if you're not already vegan, please go vegan as soon as you can. And there are plenty of resources and people that will help you. And I think that you'll be part of a very, very important social movement that is unlike anything any of us have ever seen before, and is the most important thing that we can do with our lives right now, is to promote veganism.
And what contacts can you leave with us?
My website is www.humanherbivore.com, and that's probably the best way to get in touch with me. You can email me through that website, and also I'm on Facebook, Amanda Benham, V Dietitian. Happy to have more friends that are vegan or interested in veganism. Yeah, so hope to meet some of you.
Right, and that's Benham, B-E-N-H-A-M, is that correct?
That's correct, yes, that's right. Yes, yeah. Thank you.
Well, Amanda, you are a powerhouse, and we greatly appreciate you. And it's exciting to know that you are talented and that you share your talents with the business, with starting a vegan grocery store in Brisbane, and with writing a children's book, and with your work as a nutritionist and dietitian and a vegan activist.
Well, thank you. I think everybody who helps animals and promotes veganism deserves a big thank you.
This has been a true honor and a great pleasure and a very, very special that you have joined us. And thank you for taking your time to join us on Vegan Nation.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
We've been joined by Amanda Benham in Brisbane, Australia. Amanda is an accredited practicing dietitian and nutritionist. I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation in celebration of the powerful vegan activist work by Amanda Benham. Let's go out with this song, One Species, by X, True Nature X. Join us next week at this time, where we'll bring you more news on living a vegan lifestyle. Hear this program again at wcuw.org/vegannation. Theme music provided by Will Tuttle. This is Marlene Narrow, wishing you a good day.